It pays to be nice, and it's something that Pastor Cam was. He was nice to me. Can we thank God for Pastor Cam? And even to the interns, my brothers, A.G. Mitchell, and to Caleb Cage, God bless you. And to everybody under the sound of my voice, let's pray. Let's pray. Our Father and God, how we say thank you. Father, the truth of the matter is you've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. So, Father, we just want to tell you thank you. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your peace that you've shown towards us. Now, Father, it is I, your preacher. I need your help. Father, hide me behind your cross. Make preaching easy. Allow them to see you, Father, and not me myself. No matter what happens, we'll make sure to give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise, because it belongs to you. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Let everybody shout amen. Amen. You may have your seats all over the building. When people heard that I was coming to spend some time down here in Texas at Good Hope, one of the things they started telling me, they said, "Kerry, in order for you to make it down in Texas, the first thing you need to do is pack some cool clothes. Because that Houston heat ain't no joke." And God knows they was telling the truth. God knows it get hot down here in Houston. They also told me, they said, "Kerry, if you're going to make it in Houston, what you need to do is when you get down there, go and find you a Walmart and go buy you an umbrella, because every week in Houston, it rains." If somebody know I'm telling the truth, somebody ought to shout amen. They said it rains down there in Houston. They said if you also are planning to make it in Houston, you ought to bring you some extra spending money, because there's some stores at the Galleria you're going to want to take some time and shop at. And so I did everything they said. I got me an umbrella, and I got a friend to get me some umbrella. I got some things. I even went and got me some cool clothing, and I even had some extra spending money. But there's one thing that they didn't tell me about Houston.
What did they tell you, Reverend?
They didn't tell me that Houston has some good restaurants. Yeah, I'm talking about Papacito's and Papado's and JJ's Fish and Chips. I even messed around here and found me this restaurant called Pravare. And I promise you that restaurant will bless you if you let it. While I was at that restaurant, it was something about Pravare. Their ambiance was just exceptional. I could smell the food before I even ordered the food. The music that was playing around the restaurant was something that reminded me of my childhood. But while I was at the restaurant, there was something that I noticed about my server. The server noticed what I needed before I could even ask for it. She noticed I may have needed a refill, extra napkins, a menu. Before I could ask for it, she had already prepared it. She had anticipated my needs. She responded with care and carried herself with intentionality. She knew what to say when I walked in, how to respond to me while I was seated. She even knew how to speak to me when I was leaving. Why? Because she understood something that was simple but yet significant, and that is there is a right way to serve someone. Before I left, she asked me the question. She said, "If you don't mind, do you mind leaving a review of my service?" I said, "Sure. I don't mind leaving a review of your service," because God knows that waiter was very good. And as I began to leave the review, a question hit me. And that question was, if God was to review your service, what would he say? I began to look at it. How would God rate the way you serve him? Would he be pleased with your spirit, your attitude, your posture? Then I realized something. What matters to God isn't just that you serve him, but what matters to God is how you serve him. Because one thing I've realized, God doesn't want any lazy workers. Your service to God shouldn't be a show. It shouldn't be a strain. It shouldn't even be a spectacle.
Your service to God should be done in a way that honors him.
Yeah. Y'all don't believe me. It's all throughout the Bible that the scriptures points to us serving the Lord. Joshua said it like this: if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then you should choose this day whom you will serve. He told him, if you're going to serve the God of your ancestors beyond the Euphrates rivers, or the God of the Amorites whose land you're living in, then Joshua said it like this: but as for me and my house, I got some Bible readers in the building, we gonna serve the Lord. Y'all still don't believe me? Come here, Moses. Moses said it like this in Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter and the 12th verse: to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Even Jesus said, if anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. And I've come to the realization, since we've been given the command to serve, we might as well serve the right way.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, that's what I want to talk about on this morning. I want to talk about how to serve the Lord the right way.
That's right.
Yeah, believe it or not, it's right here in Psalm 100 that we gain a blueprint. Psalm 100, it gives us some instructions on how we should serve the Lord the right way. Y'all ready for it? The Bible lets us know that Psalm 100 is a psalm of thanksgiving. The writer is showing God's people how they should enter into God's temple. The psalm isn't limited to the Israelites, but it's a command to the whole world. Psalm 100 was used during the thanks offerings and the festival processions, especially when worshipers entered the temple gates with sacrifices and songs. Psalm 100 is a global call for joyful worship. It's not inclusive and it's not restrictive, but the Bible is letting us know that it's allowing everyone to come together and have joyful worship with God. And I must tell you, if you plan on serving the Lord the right way, the first thing you must do is you must serve with the right spirit.
Okay,
yeah, it's right there in the text. Bible says in the first verse, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. When we enter this text, we are immediately reminded that God deserves more than just workers, but he deserves worshipers who work. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't just matter that we serve, but what matters is how we serve. And our text teaches us something that's profound. Before God tells us where he wants us to serve, he gives us a prescription of how to serve. And the first concern of the psalmist is not your assignment, but it's your attitude. And the significant about this is because it's nothing more pleasing to God who serves him like they actually want to serve him. Can I tell you a secret? God is not impressed with your reluctant obedience or your resentful ministry. He delights in a servant whose heart is as committed as their hands. You got to notice the progression of the text. The psalmist says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He goes on to say, serve the Lord with gladness. He goes on to say, come before his presence with singing. Every command is saturated with joy. There is shouting. There is gladness. There is singing. Why? Because God has never desired service that is disconnected from delight. Here's what I've learned. This is why it's important that you never allow anyone to steal your joy. Say it again, Brother White. Okay. This is why it's important that you don't allow people
to steal your joy. Because joy is the only thing that stands in between aggravation and exaltation. Joy is the only thing that stands between annoying and anointing. Joy is the only thing that stands in between disturbance and delight. That's why my grandmother said it like this: this joy that I have, the world did not give it to me, and the world didn't take it away. I wish for 10 seconds you would lift up your hands, open up your mouth, and give God praise for the simple fact you still got some joy. Life may be going bad. I'm getting happy in my soul. Life may be going bad, but God still put some joy in you. Anybody got the testimony that I've got joy? That's unspeakable joy. You trying to worry how I'm making it when gas is high? It's because God gave me some joy. You trying to worry how I'm making it when I lost my job? It's because God gave me some joy. You trying to worry how I'm making it even when family members died? It's because God gave me some joy. I must tell you though, joy isn't just about your musicality. No, joy isn't even about your volume. But I believe that joy is about the expression of your heart overflowing with gratitude towards God. And I know we normally look at the sound that comes out of your lips. And I want to challenge us, what's the sound that our life makes? Because if we really have some joy, it won't stop out at our lips, but it'll overflow into our lives. Bible is letting us know if we plan to serve God the right way, you must serve with the right spirit. The word serve in Hebrew is abad. It means to work, to labor, to minister, even to worship. That's important because it teaches us, for the people of God, that there was never a separation in between worship and service. They didn't worship on one day and serve on another. Their worship was their service to God, and their worship filled their service. In other words, every act of service was an opportunity to honor God. Whether they were serving in the tabernacle, bringing in an offering, carrying out their God-given responsibilities, they understood that they weren't merely just doing a task, but they were worshiping their King. That's why the psalmist doesn't simply just say, serve the Lord, but he tells us, serve the Lord with gladness. God isn't just concerned of the work of your hands, but he's concerned of the worship of your heart, because you can't do the right thing with the wrong spirit. Y'all don't believe me. You can sing, but it's better with joy. You can usher, but it's better with love. You can't preach unless you got a little passion in your heart. You can't lead a ministry while you're secretly resenting the people that you're leading. That's why the psalmist says, if you plan on serving the Lord, the first thing that you got to do is not just bring me your ability, but bring me your joy. Come to the realization that serving with a bad spirit will affect your work. It'll distort your vision. A bad spirit just doesn't stay inside the servant, but it leaks out inside of the service. Serving out of a bad spirit will produce contaminated service. Can I tell you like this? Serving with a bad spirit is like driving with a flat tire. You can't go anywhere until you change it. Say it again, Carrie. Sure. Serving with a bad spirit, it's like driving a car with a flat tire. What am I trying to tell you? Before you go to serve, you ought to learn how to change your spirit. Yeah. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. All right, let's try it like this. My first week, y'all, in Houston, I went and I worked down there at the food bank. I worked down there giving out some food, the food pantry, going out there giving some food. And y'all,
I thought I knew what hard work was like. I own the lawn business. I thought I knew what it was like to work hard. But I got a new definition of hard work. And that definition is food pantry. I was out there working, y'all, and I was trying my best to serve. While I'm serving, I'm sweating, and I'm looking at everybody else. They smiling and serving. It's 90 plus degrees outside, and I'm saying to myself, good Lord, when are we going to be finished with this? Because this little body of mine is getting tired. Well, while we were serving, it messed around and started raining. I said to myself, yes, we're getting ready to leave. We're going home. We're not going to be here much longer. To my surprise, they messed around here, started grabbing some umbrellas, started getting some coats, even took the food and put it inside of the church. I said, what are y'all doing? And it's them that I realized, even though it was nasty on the outside, their spirit was still shining on the inside. And it's there that I learned that you ought to not allow outside conditions to control your spirit, but you've got to allow your spirit to control what's going on around you. If you plan on serving the Lord right way, the first thing you got to do is you've got to serve with the right spirit. Second thing, I promise you, is right there in the text. If you plan on serving the Lord the right way, second thing you've got to do, you've got to serve with the right shepherd. Yeah, it's right in that third verse. The Bible says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The psalmist conveys that we belong to God. And since we belong to God, our service is also his. You can't serve God correctly if you don't know who you are. You are his. You're his creation, his people, his sheep. And can I tell you that your identity determines your posture, and your posture determines your service. We didn't create ourselves. Our lives belong to God. He's the reason that we are living and breathing. He's the reason that we even exist. Can I tell you, just knowing that the Lord is God is a reason to render service unto him. Here's what I realized. God may assign us to people, but the aim and the audience of our service is God. Our hands may touch people, but God must be the shepherd of our heart. People may be the place of service, but God is the purpose of service. Say it again. People may be the place of service, but God is the shepherd of service. One more time and I'm going to get happy. People may be the place of service, but God is the purpose of service. And can I tell you that when God is your shepherd, you don't seek after self-validation. When God is your shepherd, gratitude comes from him and not man. God's your shepherd. You can serve even when people don't see you. God's your shepherd. You've learned that your service is anchored, aligned, and anointed. That's why the aim of our service isn't to please man, but it's to please God. That's why Colossians, the third chapter, the 23rd verse says, whatever you do, somebody shout whatever, do it as heartily unto the Lord. Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 7th verse says it like this. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not people. Service unto the Lord should not just be an activity, but it should be alignment. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I told you, if you plan on serving the Lord the right way, the first thing you got to do, you got to serve with the right spirit. I told you the second thing you got to do, you got to serve with the right shepherd. There's one more thing in this text. I promise you, I bid you a farewell. I get out your way. There's one more thing I noticed. If you plan on serving the Lord the right way, You must serve with the right sacrifice. Yeah, I knew it would get quiet on this point, so I'm going to say it one more time. Your service must have the right sacrifice. I promise you, it's hidden right there in that fourth verse. The fourth verse says it like this. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Anybody get happy over the scriptures? Can I read it one more time? I'm one of those persons. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Lord, I love your name. Enter into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Can I tell you that thanksgiving is a sacrifice? Praise is a sacrifice. They require you to lay down something before you can pick up anything. You can't carry bitterness into his gates. You can't carry jealousy into his courts. You can't carry resentment into his presence. But if you want to serve God the right way, you must sacrifice the things of the wrong spirit. Come here, Romans. Romans says it like this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. How you gonna do it, Kerry? I'm glad you asked. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The only way you can enter with thanksgiving and enter with a praise, if it's in your heart. And then you do me one favor for the first time. Just touch your neighbor and tell them you got to have the right sacrifice. The right sacrifice. No, you ain't touched the right neighbor. You just did it because I asked you to do it. But I dare you on this time. I dare you pull your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, you got to have the right sacrifice. Because the only way we're going to be able to serve the Lord with thanksgiving and serve him with praise is if you have the right heart posture and sacrifice. I've come to the realization that what's in your heart will spill out of your mouth. Can I go a little deeper? It not only will spill out of your mouth, but it'll spill out of your life. This is why you've got to be careful of what you allow to get in your heart. Every once in a while, you got to pray the prayer that my grandmother used to pray. Lord, turn the spotlight on from heaven. And if you find anything in me that should not be, I ask you, Lord, you know what to do. Cleanse me, Lord. Wash me through and through. Take it away from me. Can I tell you, you can't serve God right if you enter wrong. God doesn't want a miserable servant. He doesn't want an angry servant. But God wants a thankful and a loving and a praising servant. This is why our prayer should be, Lord, work on my feet so I can walk right. Work on my mind so I can think right. Your prayer ought to be, Lord, work on my hands so I can give right. Your prayer ought to be, Lord, work on my heart so I can love right. And I come to the realization that the only reason that you ought to learn how to serve the Lord the right way is because it's written in the fifth verse. The Bible begins to let us know, for the Lord is good. I done messed around and got happy at the church. I said, for the Lord is good. Your life may not be good, but God is. Your job may not be good, but God is. You might not have the best bill of health, but God is still good. You may not have all that you want, but I got a testimony for you. And my testimony is that God is good. Does anybody in the building got the testimony that when you look back over your life, you can see that God's been good to you? Anybody got the testimony that he's brought you over some valleys, brought you over some mountains, brought you through some dark days, brought you through some sickness?
witnesses. That's the reason that I can tell you that God is good. It goes on to even tell us that his mercy endures to all generations. It even tells us that his mercy is everlasting. What does that mean, Brother White? That goes to tell us that his mercy outlives your mistakes. His mercy outlives your mishaps. His mercy outlives your mess. His mercy outlives your misery. His mercy outlives your misjudgment. His mercy outlives your mismanagement. His mercy outlives the moments that you messed up. So I dare you, for the next few fleeting moments, lift up your hands, open up your mouth, and praise God that he gave you mercy. You didn't get it right, but he gave you mercy. You failed a few times, but he gave you mercy. So lift up your hands. I done got half of y'all. Oh, ye gates, be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who's the King carrying? Who's the King carrying? He's the Lord, strong and mighty. He's the Lion, mighty in battle. I got one more question. When you gonna serve him, carry? When you gonna lift him up, carry? Storm and the rain, do sickness and pain for the rest of my life. I made a vow to God, and that vow is I'm gonna serve him. If you believe it for the last time, lift up your hands, open up your mouth, and shout. Shout like God been good to you. Shout like he made some ways out of no way.
It doesn't matter how gifted you are if you don't have the right spirit. Y'all not, I talk to this side. That side don't believe. It doesn't matter how gifted you are. I don't care how well you can play the organ. If your spirit isn't right, it doesn't have God. I know you can administrate well and you're probably the best to do it, but if your spirit isn't right. And that's what the charge is. We're not here to serve God anyway. The psalmist said, if you're going to serve him, you've got to serve him with gladness. And this is what I've learned. I promise you're going to my seat. Your situation don't have to be good for you to be good. Can I take it up even higher? Your situation don't have to be good for God to be good. All throughout the text, it says, for the Lord is good. And that's why you ought to serve him. He's good. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. There's somebody here. You say, Brother White, you talk about serving, and I was serving. I was doing it. I thought I was doing what I was supposed to do. Pastor told me it's a season to serve. I thought I was serving. But perhaps you haven't been doing it with the right spirit. And what happens is it happens so quick because you allow the things of your past to become a seed in your future. So what happens now is you're mad from a past event that nobody remembers, but because you haven't taken time to deal with it, all the people see is the fruit of your madness. All the people see is the fruit of you being hateful. And we ought to learn, if we desire to serve the Lord, as Brother Cage comes and takes us into our discipleship call, that we've got to learn, we've got to do it with gladness. If you believe that, put your hands together and give God some praise.
Stand. QR code is on the screen for our Hope Church family. You can come for salvation, prayer, or church membership. Two things are true this morning. Our leaders are coming to the front for those that are there in person to receive you. Two things are true this morning. Whether you're here in person or online, that you fall into one of two categories. Either a person who needs Jesus or a person who needs to grow in Jesus. This message is for all of us. Whether we've been serving and have not been serving with the right spirit, with the right heart posture, or whether we have not even begun to answer the call to serve, God is calling all of us into his service today. And he's not calling us any kind of way, but he's calling us to serve him the right kind of way. There is a right and a wrong way to serve God. All throughout the Bible, it tells us to serve the Lord. Minister White told us, Deuteronomy 10 and 12, serve the Lord with your whole self. Joshua says it like this, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Colossians says it this way, that everything you do, do as unto the Lord and not unto man, knowing we will receive a reward from the Lord because we are serving the Lord. God is calling us into his service today. And somebody needs to answer that call. We're singing, praise team. Serving God the right way. Maybe you have been a part of ministries and serving, and you have been convicted in your heart this morning that you have not been serving in the right kind of way. You might be like those men in Matthew 25 that came to Jesus and said, Lord, we've done all these things in your name. And Jesus said to them, depart from me, for I never knew you. I want you to get it right today. David says, create in me, O God, a clean heart. And renew in me a right spirit. He says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Come on, somebody needs to get their heart right this morning. There is a right and a wrong way to serve God. And you can choose today to make your choice to serve him the right kind of way. Wherever you are, all over this building, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, do you need to serve him the right way? Neighbor, do you need to get it right with God? Do you need prayer? Do you need to accept God's call to serve him today? Come on, we're going to sing it one more time, and we hope that somebody comes.
Through the storm and the rain, through sickness and pain, for the rest of my life, I will serve him forever.
And I'm gonna let it go because I don't want to belabor the time, but I feel that somebody is saying that you don't know what it's like to be out there, to have all these eyes on you, that I'm calling you to come, and I don't know all the judgment that you're going to face when you walk down that aisle. I want you to know that I know what it's like to be on the other side of this microphone. I know what it's like to sit in those pews and feel like everybody's eyes are on you. But if you are going to answer the call to serve God, Paul says it this way, if I were trying to please man, then I would not be a servant of Christ. And if you're going to answer God's call to serve him, you cannot be worried about the eyes that are on you in this building. Because there are some eyes that are on you. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, beholding the good and the evil. And so whatever you're going through, whatever you're in, whatever mistakes you make, God has already seen it. And he's still saying, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. So somebody needs to come. We're going to sing it one more time because I just feel that somebody needs to get it right today. I don't want you to walk out this building without having made your petition to God to say, God, I come to you and say, Lord, I'll serve you. Lord, I'll do your will. Lord, whatever you ask me to do, I'll serve you unto the rest of my life. Come on, we're singing.
Through the storm and the rain, through sickness and pain, for the rest of my life, I will serve him for.
Seed has been scattered. It is ours to give and yours to receive. Let's give God praise for the word this morning. Thank God for the preaching gift that is in the minister Kerry L. White Jr. We're going to move to our offering time now, church. It is offering time. Let's give God praise. As we prepare to honor God and worship God through our giving, our leaders are coming with receptacles. The ways to give should be on the screen. There are six ways to give here at the Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church via Cash App, Giblify, via our app. You can text to give, Apple Pay, Google Pay, and our deacons are here in person. Ready to receive your offerings. All of your gifts here at the Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church go toward the upliftment of the kingdom of God. Everybody say amen. The kingdom of God is being uplifted through your giving. through your worship, through your service. And we thank you, and we thank you for all your sacrifices here this morning, because everything that we do here, all the service that goes on through this church, through this body of believers, is supported through your giving, and is in no small way that God honors your sacrifices. So we pray this morning that as you ensure that there is meat in God's house, that God would ensure there is meat in your house. So as you're going, we're going to sing, have Pastor Mark sing for us as we... Y'all don't want me to sing.
Sing it, Carrie. Come on. Come on up here. We're going to use them all up today. That's right. Since you got so much gift, I want you to use every bit of it. Come on.
The greatness of the Lord is conceivable. The love that he's shown is unconditional. Power of the Lord is unbeatable. Great is the God we serve. God is great, oh yeah, and greatly to be praised. Come on, if you know he's great, just clap with me. Oh, God is great, oh.
Sower and bless the seed, God. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can we give God praise again for this preacher? Don't go nowhere.